So over the past few weeks, you may have noticed, you know, we're dealing with a different gospel every week and talking about some of the unique parts of every gospel that gives a better glimpse of Jesus. So each one of the gospels has their own kind of specific things that they like to focus in on. And today, to wrap up that series, because we've already talked about all four gospels, is to talk about what they have in common. So what is that common thread that gets shown in the uniqueness of every gospel? So that's what we're going to be dealing with today. I'm going to give you a hint. It's about love and about how we treat each other, because for some strange reason, that shows up in every single gospel. And I think for some pretty good reasons. So be listening for those words of love. Be listening in the scripture for how we can love one another and why we should love one another.
The first scripture reading is from 1 John 5:1-6. In the New Testament, it's on page 241. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God conquers the world, and this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. The Word of God for the people of God.
Our second scripture comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. As my Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. For just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, I have said these things, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you to. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, so that my Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commandments so that you may love one another. The words of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. If you could please join me in a moment of prayer. Amazing God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So you may have noticed that what was read today has some overlap with what we read last week. And I have to tell you, this was our way of being super, super sneaky so we could get it into your minds a little bit earlier. So the latter half of what Pastor Evie read was what I read last week along with Sharon's I Am pieces from out of the Gospel of John. So just so you know, if it sounds a little bit familiar that you've heard this in this building here pretty recently, you have. So this passage talks a lot about friends and just what friends are and things along that line. So I've been pondering all week, who is your best friend? Are they your significant other? One of your siblings? How long have you known them? Do you have more than one? We know that these special friendships are unique things, but what makes these relationships unique? What makes them so important? Now, I can't answer this for each of you, because each friendship is unique, but I can speak from my own experience. I have two friends in my life that definitely fit into this best friend category, and the first of these is my sister. Now, she's not my sister in any sort of biological way. She's the daughter of my godmother, and our relationship has just always been so close that we claim each other as siblings. Sometimes she claims me before she claims her actual sister. And we're more than just friends. We're definitely family. And my relationship with the second person is very familiar and is very similar. He and I first met when we were 3 years old at daycare, and we attended the same schools all the way until graduating high school. And in adulthood, we've spent some time where we've gone a couple of years without seeing each other, but when we see each other, we always just pick right up as if no time had passed. And it's different because, you know, we don't necessarily refer to each other as brothers, but we do call each other's mom, Mom, instead of their name. And a funny story with this, at his wedding, he and my mom were talking, and one of his friends came up, and so he wanted to introduce them. And so he said, you know, the introduction went something along these lines. Mom, this is my friend. And he filled in the blank with the person's name. And then he flipped it. So-and-so, this is my mom. And he stumbled. He stumbled in his words, and he looked at my mom, and he said, I'm so sorry, I don't remember the last time that I called you anything other than Mom, and I don't remember your name. At which point, the three of them laughed, and my mother graciously told my friend Rio her name. With both of my friends, our relationships have moved beyond just a simple friendship into something that's a lot more. And what makes these relationships so unique, at least for me, is the familial nature that they've taken on. And our relationships, especially with friends, I think speak to the proof that God's grace is working through others who come into our lives. And I know this to be true because of the relationships that I have with my sister and with Rio. And my hope is that while I've been talking a bit about some of my best friends, that you've been able to think at least a little bit about at least one person who has graced your life that is this type of friend for you. Think about those best friends. What would you do to help them that you wouldn't necessarily do for someone else? You do this because of who they are. Now, I know that I would bend over backwards for my sister or for Rio if they needed it, just as I'm sure that you would go to great lengths to help out your friends as well. And why would we help these people to such a great length is my question if we didn't need to. And I think that the answer is pretty simple. It's love. We act on the love in our hearts with no expectation of reward because love expects no reward. In our scripture this morning, Jesus says, "No one has a greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And this is a powerful statement to make. I mean, it's one thing to help out a friend, but to be willing to lay down one's life for one's friend is something that is almost immeasurable. Now, I'm not saying that we need to find ways to be martyrs to help out our friends, because we don't, but there is more here than just meets the quick glance of the eye. These words of Christ are speaking on multiple levels to a multitude of places. These words are addressed initially to the disciples that were there in that time, in that space with Jesus. And these words definitely foreshadow the coming of the cross. He would be giving up his life for the sake of his friends. However, this is not the only way that these words have meaning. These words of Christ also speak intimately to the persecuted community to which John is writing, and to persecuted Christians throughout history. Being the latest of the Gospels, the last to be written down, John kind of gets this final Gospel voice to speak to the early church community. By the time that John is written down, probably somewhere around 95 AD, being a Christian, being a believer in Christ, is something that was illegal throughout the Roman Empire. And if you were a follower of Christ, you were making a decision that could very easily end, lead in your ultimate end, if you catch my drift. And yet we have these words. No one has a greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And when spoken to the church, this is much more than just a foreshadowing of the cross. These words spoke to a sense of community and solidarity and the people that were coming together in order to face the danger that they were all facing. To lay down one's life for a friend means that you could be taking part or making a sacrifice of yourself for the benefit of others who are a part of the church. That you could be giving of yourself to the authorities out of love so that others could continue to reach other people for Jesus. And this is a pretty big gift to be able to offer someone else. For you see, the words of Christ, doesn't matter which ones they are, take on more and more meaning for the church and her people over the course of time. And as history continues to unfold, our faith tradition becomes deeper and deeper, just as our friendships in life become deeper and deeper. Our scripture has a greater and greater application in each of our lives because there is more places for it to take root in our hearts. Now, in each gospel, we see a group of students who are following Jesus that become more than just a group of students. They become friends. And these 12 become not only friends with each other, but Jesus calls them his friends. To this point, God has never told any group of people that they were God's friends. God called Israel his people, but not his friends. Jesus sometimes calls people friend instead of using their name, but this calling of a group of people is unique. So you may be asking, why is it so important that Jesus calls people his friend? Well, Christ goes to great lengths to help those whom he calls friend, and it signifies a change in the relationship between humans and God. Instead of being lowly creatures whose primary connection to God is through following the law of God to achieve some kind of appeasement, God changes the very way that we connect with God. The object of our worship is no longer this very distant creator who is incredibly hard to connect with. The object of our worship changes with the coming of Jesus. When Christ calls us friend, Christ calls us into an intimate relationship with God that was simply not possible before his coming. When God decided to become one of us, to take on human form, God allowed us to connect with God in ways that were not possible before. Jesus tells us, "You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father." Now, I sometimes have trouble with these words because I get to thinking, why would a friend command me to do something? That doesn't seem like something a friend would do. But what Jesus means in these words is not that we are to follow a command in the traditional sense of obeying just because we are told, as if we were a servant or a slave. Jesus is calling us into a greater relationship with God than we had before. To approach our relationship with Jesus as that of a servant will most definitely hamper and hurt the very thing that Jesus desires from us. Jesus desires to be our friend. Jesus is trying to show us the level to which we are being raised up by having him amongst our close connected cadre of people. We are being moved up from the status of servant, someone who has obligations to someone else, to something so much more. Jesus is trying to show us that we are being brought up to know all that he knows. And to know all that Jesus knows is no small feat. Jesus is God, the Word made flesh to dwell among us, and Jesus wants us to know all that he knows. Jesus wants us to know what the Master is doing. Jesus doesn't want us to just dole out commands. Jesus doesn't want to just dole out commands to us without a sense of what those commands add up to. Jesus wants to bring us into a relationship so that we can understand what God is doing in the world and in our lives. This is a dramatic departure from where people were before. We are no longer to follow commands because they are commands. We are being gifted through the friendship of Jesus with the reason why those commands came into being in the first place. And what is this reason? Jesus states it quite clearly, I think, in this scripture from John this morning. As the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Just as the words about laying down one's life for one's friends ring with an extra truth any place where Christians are being prosecuted, these words about love from Christ speak to more than just one context. It's true that Jesus was sharing these words to the disciples in front of him, but these words are also meant for each and every one of us across time. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And what is this commandment? That we love one another as Christ first loved us. Now, we might have different ideas of what it means to love each other. We might approach the same situation and have some people think that the kind way is the loving way to move forward, and where others might approach the same situation and think, well, you know, this is really a space for tough love. But it doesn't change the fact that we are supposed to love one another. How we go about loving might look different, but the call on each and every one of our hearts is the same. Christ commands us to love one another so that we might abide in his love and be filled with his joy. Each of the Gospels has their unique points that show us different aspects of who Christ is, but the overarching message by far from the teachings of Jesus in the Gospels is that we might love each other as Christ first loved us. All of the other teachings that you can derive from the life and the ministry of Jesus will lead to this one point. Hear the good news, my friends. We are each called by Christ to love others as Christ first loved us. The call to do this is not always an easy one. Not everyone will be as easy to love as your best friend is easy to love. But the relationships that you have with your friends serve as benchmarks for what is possible for our love with everybody. And these relationships are emblematic of Jesus' love for us. It is our challenge instead to live more and more into the reality of love, to find the places where we can abide in the love of Christ, to find the places where people are not being loved, and show them that they are cared for. May this be what we strive for as we abide in the love of Christ in this time and all times. Amen.